You are listening to the Homewood Hotcast right here on HPL Radio.
Hi, welcome to the Fantastic Podcasting, also known as the Weekly Geekly, or perhaps more accurately, the Bi-Weekly Geekly, where we rave and rant about any number of our favorite things that you can find here at Homewood Public Library. Yes, we have more than books. Our patrons can also check out movies on DVD and VHS tapes, TV shows on DVD, music on CD, and graphic novels.
And I'm one of your co-hosts, Neptune Zone.
I am the marvelous Mojo Jojo, the man, not the monkey.
And today, we will be discussing yet another graphic novel. And this one is called New Avengers, The Illuminati, the graphic novel, which collects, I believe it's the first five books in this miniseries, plus New Avengers, The Illuminati One-Shot, which is actually where this all started, published before the New Avengers Illuminati graphic novel slash series. But needless to say, I'm going to go ahead and warn you, first of all, that there will be spoilers.
We are the spoiler killers.
Yes, the spoiler killers. And actually, y'all should all know, all the comic book fans, our people, will know this already because this is all the stuff that's leading up to Secret Invasion. For those that aren't, there are spoilers. But this stuff has been out for a while, too. So, but anyway, I should also warn you that, as my name says, Neptune Zone, I'm going to be extremely biased in this discussion since my all-time favorite comic book character is Prince Namor of Atlantis.
Groupie.
Thank you. All right, well, let's get started here. The whole idea for the Illuminati is that what if some of the most powerful superheroes...
The most powerful, I think.
All right,
most powerful and intelligent.
Right, the most politically, I think, world-changing powerful, as opposed to just like Hulk's bash strong. Mm-hmm. What if they actually came together as a group to try and handle certain situations, global or universal situations, threats to the Earth. Supposedly, Iron Man came up with this ideal. He invites Doctor Strange to cover the magic part, Charles Xavier.
Cover the mental.
Right.
Reed Richards to cover the scientific.
Right.
Black Bolt to cover the...
The Inhumans.
I guess.
Right.
I never understood how he's upper class in strength, but... I guess because he's a king.
A segment of the population that has powers, right.
And a large segment,
actually. Mm-hmm. All right, and of course, my favorite superhero character, Prince Namor.
Who runs pretty much a third of the world.
That's right, because he's king of the oceans. Well, not quite, but in his own mind, he's king of the oceans. And they also want Black Panther, Prince T'Challa of Wakanda, to join the group. And that's why they're holding it there. What happens at the very opening is, oh yes, thank you for coming to my country, but...
Mm-hmm. He already knows that it's going to be not smooth sailing.
Well, right. I mean, let's look at that lineup again. We have Iron Man, Doctor Strange, Charles Xavier, Reed Richards, Black Bolt, and Prince Namor. Now, do any of these people strike you as going to be able to get along and work together?
No, and one big thing is leaders who lead. It's hard to figure out who's the leader of the group, so there's going to be a lot of interesting ideas that are bounced against each other, especially being with the antagonistic Namor and his friend/foe Reed Richards in the same group.
That's only a rumor that he's been trying to snark Reed Richards' wife. That's only a rumor. All right, besides the fact that they're very powerful and everybody wants to lead, I mean, we have a room full of kings, mm-hmm. but the other thing is that they each have their own agendas. I mean, Charles Xavier is going to be looking out for the mutants.
And extreme personalities as well.
That's true. But anyway, T'Challa...
would have been a massacre if he would have joined that thing. They really wouldn't have got nothing done if T'Challa would have joined. I understand, though.
Right, but he seems to be the only one that realizes that, A, this is not going to quite work out because of the personalities, and B, who are we to get together and decide the fate of the world?
That part I didn't understand, though.
You didn't think that was like him?
No, because T'Challa's pretty egotistical. And so if you had to pick the top guys in the world to come together, these would be the ones. So that sort of didn't make any sense to me.
Well, I bow to your expertise on T'Challa. I'm not that familiar with him.
Oh yeah, I like T'Challa.
He ends up being the smartest guy in the group by saying, no, thank you. And then of course, Mr. Paranoid, my favorite character, Namor, is like, no, I don't think I want to join either. But he's kind of in a situation where, you know, if I don't join, then I'm never going to know what these air breathers are planning against me.
Right. Because it's always a double agenda.
Right. So anyway, they have this meeting and they try to get together. And then Namor finally says, well, okay, I'll do it. But we have to keep it secret. And we can't tell our families and we can't tell our wives. Although he has no family and he has no wife. So this
it's
is
pretty
not
easy
big,
for him.
Yeah, this is not a big sacrifice for him.
Which I think is why he stayed at the point.
Well, I mean, he does have a point in that, you know.
Well, none of them have wives with Black Bolt and Reed Richards. And Namor never really talks directly to Black Bolt. Matter of fact, nobody really talks directly to Black Bolt. Except Charles Xavier.
Yeah.
So I'm figuring that crack was towards Reed Richards to start off the, you know, the...
Well, Doctor Strange, I think, was hanging out, or I'm not sure what the exact relationship, because this was all set in a backstory. It's supposed to take place right after the Kree-Skrull War,
mm-hmm.
which, gosh, that was eons ago.
Mm-hmm.
Doctor Strange is hanging out with Clea. we'll get to the art in a sec. But, yeah, I mean, I kind of agree that there's a point to that in that, you know, the more people that know, the more people that can leak the secret. But anyway, they come together and the group ends up being those six people with T'Challa saying, no, thank you. Supposedly they're going to all meet anytime there's some global threat. The first one that they talk about here is the Hulk. Now, as all the true believers know, the Hulk goes on these rampages all the time. There's lots of property damage, to say the least. Mm-hmm. Tony Stark wants everybody to meet again, and
I think that first agenda, though,
mm-hmm.
is the reason why the Illuminati has a hard time working together. Because Namor, I feel that Namor was right.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear you say that, because that is one thing I'm going to bring up to you. They should make a drinking game
mm-hmm.
for every time one of the Illuminati or somebody else, or one of the readers says Namor is right.
Mm.
And it's always said with great reluctance, okay? Like, they can't believe that they're having to agree with the slightly fiery-tempered one. The first thing that we hear about the Illuminati doing is the problem of what to do with the Hulk. And this is what you're talking about, where you think Namor's right when,
mm-hmm.
when it comes to the question of the Hulk.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yes, I tend to agree that Namor is right also.
The best thing to do is give Hulk an Elsie. Remember who Elsie was?
No.
In the Exiles,
right.
They had the story about the Wolverines and the Wolverine-Magneto combo. And there was a Wolverine that was connected to a humanoid dog called Elsie.
Oh, okay.
And it sort of kept his animalistic rage in check.
Kept him calm.
And it seems like if they want to keep somebody calm, they'll throw a kid in there with them somewhere. Just like Hercules.
Ah,
you know, they keep Hercules.
Right.
They throw Cho in there with them. So I figure if they get David Banner a companion, he might not lose it so much.
Give him a puppy.
Yeah. Instead of sending him off and tricking him.
Right.
Which
well,
just enrages him.
Well, yes, this is what the... Okay, now mind you, this is the smartest people on the planet have decided that the solution to the Hulk is we're going to fire him off into another dimension.
That's another thing. They sort of didn't really even talk about it. It sort of was all Iron Man's thing, and then they was like, aye, we'll go with it. But
yeah.
They really didn't discuss it after Namor said it wasn't a good idea.
Well,
and
no.
It's almost like the argument was just Namor and Iron Man.
Well, actually, Xavier doesn't show up for this,
mm-hmm.
this throwdown for some reason.
Which he should have. You sort of can't go against, but you sort of double teamed with Iron Man and Reed Richards are together because they sort of think alike to me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because they're both scientists.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And, of course, then you have Black Bolt, who has a difficult time contributing to any kind of conversation.
Mm-hmm. I still hadn't figured out what that meant. I guess I didn't know if you want to beat him up or thumbs up or I don't know what that was.
Okay. What happens is Xavier isn't there, and, of course, Reed and Iron Man, like you said, are double-teaming Namor, who, of course, is who will never hesitate to offer his opinion, asked or unasked. Mm-hmm. And basically, Namor says, no, that's really a bad idea. A, because he's been an ally, he's done good. And B, because he's coming back. There's nothing you can do because he's coming mm-hmm. back. And when he comes back, he's going to be madder than ever.
And he's going to be even destroyed even more. So
that's right, that's right. But they all vote.
And the fact that he was a comrade.
Right, yeah,
Namor really didn't like the fact that they were tricking their comrade
right.
and sending them off.
So, no, yeah, he did say that's the case.
Which is, that's the part I agree with.
Yeah. And, well, you also have to remember that, you know, this is the part I don't understand. Is
I wonder if they're going to hear me crunching potato chips.
Probably. You'll have to crunch the other direction. The other thing that, you know, that kind of gets glossed over here is the fact that Namor and Doctor Strange and the Hulk started the Defenders.
Right.
So it's not like they haven't worked with the Hulk.
And like I said.
So I'm not
sure. And that was probably one reason why Namor would think that Dr. Strange would be on his side about this. Because
right.
the Hulk has pulled them out of pretty a lot of jams.
Exactly. And of course, Namor does not like the Hulk. You know, he doesn't get along with him at all. Anyway, he understands he's a comrade. And they vote. Iron Man forces a vote. And everybody but Namor says yes.
Damn scientists.
And Namor basically says, no, screw it. I don't care what y'all voted. I'm not going along with it. And then him and Tony have a exchange words about their relative roles. And it gets ugly quick. Mm-hmm. Because, of course, Namor is never hesitant to escalate a matter into fisticuffs.
That's what he does, matter of fact, which is stated in another book.
Yes. So him and Iron Man go at it. And, you know... Again, for the smartest people in the planet, I have no idea what Tony Stark was thinking about holding this meeting next to the water. Because Namor knocks Tony Stark into the water, and from there, that's all she wrote.
Give it up.
And of course, some people want to contest this with me, but my belief is that if you're underwater, nobody's beaten Namor. No. Maybe the Hulk, but even the Hulk is going to have a hard time beating mm-hmm. Namor under the water. And he's obviously very ticked because he rips off Tony Stark's helmet and leaves him to drown. And if it hadn't have been for...
That's the Namor that scares everybody.
Yeah, that's the one that you...
He takes it over the edge really fast.
Exactly. And he goes from being Well, I don't want to say cool, but Mr. I'm talking to you. And then the next second it's bam. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to kill you.
I think that's the reason why he has an affinity for the Hulk. Because the Hulk takes it over the edge really fast, not really planning to or not really trying to, but it just sort of...
I think Namor actually takes it over faster than the Hulk. Because, exactly. You know, the Hulk has to have this... The Hulk has to have this, you've made me mad, and then he builds up the anger, and then he turns to the Hulk. Whereas Namor is like, 1 second, literally, you're talking to him, but the next second he's trying to punch you out.
Almost bipolar.
Although, yes, well, we're not going to go there. You know how much I hate that theory of John Burns that Namor's mood swings are due to an oxygen imbalance. It just makes me irritated. Talk about going over the edge. But anyway, if it hadn't been for Doctor Strange, Tony might have been dead. So, and we would have had that wonderful Iron Man movie we did. Mm. So anyway, Namor says, yeah, well, I'm not going to be part of this. And famous last words, Banner will come back from whence you send him, and he will kill you all. And he'll be right. That's what he leaves him
and
with.
And then he says King T'Challa was right, too.
Yeah, that's right.
Just throw that in there.
Yeah, and now this is the other part. You know, this is why people say very reluctantly, Namor's right. It's because Namor has no hesitation on rubbing your nose in it either. So, of course, these words come back because we have a whole miniseries, I think, last summer, World War Hulk, where Hulk does come back and is not happy with the Illuminati who sent him off into space. The last of the one-shot ends a couple months later, I think, and Tony is calling another Illuminati meeting.
That's irritating.
Yeah, this is the part
he's the one who calls it.
I know. Because he's the only one that will. You know, it's his ideal. He's the only one that's willing to call everybody and say, can we meet again? Well, most of the time. Because the other people, you know, especially Namor, is kind of like, well, you know, I don't want to have anything to do with you.
Reed is always wrapped up in his equations.
Right, right.
Charles, he has a number of things that goes on in his life.
He's got the whole tortured mutant thing going on. But Tony calls another meeting, and basically it's to tell them that, look, the Superhero Registration Act is coming down. And he says that they should support it. And, of course, Namor doesn't give him any slack. I mean, basically says, well, yeah, that makes sense because, you know, you handed over the Hulk and now you're trying to hand over the rest of us, the superhumans.
Which he has a point.
Yeah, he does have a point,
because,
but, you know.
Iron Man was the one who suggested getting rid of the Hulk, and Iron Man's the one who's bringing the Registration Act to them. So it looks like Iron Man is sort of negotiating this thing to where you're getting rid of the folks that don't want to work with you.
Exactly.
Well, and you're keeping the ones that do.
Exactly. That's the way it looks, and I'm sure that's the way it looks to Namor, who sees things more in black and white. Of course, this turns out to be the prelude not only to World War Hulk, but to the Civil War. And that's how it ends, with the Illuminati once again disagreeing and deciding they're not going to back Iron Man on the Superhero Registration Act. Oh, well, actually, big surprise there. Reed Richards is going to back Iron Man in the Superhero Registration Act. So that's the end of the Illuminati one-shot, which is obviously a book that is set up to set up two major
events
in the Marvel Universe, World War Hulk and Civil War.
Got to talk about the art in another book.
Oh, well, yeah, all right. Let's talk about the art just before we get too far ahead.
Well, we can make it short and sweet, Scrappy.
Okay.
Colors are crappy, too.
I'm going to be a little more generous and say that
the cover's great.
The cover is fantastic. Painted by Gabriella Del Otto.
Yeah,
as I mangle the Italian language. I'm sorry, Gabriella. But the art for the Illuminati one shot is done by Alex Maleev. Again, to me, an acquired taste when he's given a good inker and a good colorist. But when he does not have a good inker, when he doesn't have an inker that complements his style or a colorist that complements his style,
Keep it politically correct.
I'm just going to say I did not care for the art either. I've seen Alex Maleev's stuff on some other things, and it was kind of neat and interesting. But this one, all right, no. It just looked very sketchily drawn, and of course, from my bias, if you don't make Namor look good, well, you know, you're out of here. So
it looks like a 1983 Luke Cage comic book.
Okay.
And then he drew Iron Man with the little holes in the top of his head.
Well,
you
now
know,
remember
like
that,
little
but
rivets.
Now, but now that would have been right for the period because Iron Man had those rivets
now
on his head.
Now that's what I forgot about
on the Kree Skull War.
This
right.
is a period piece,
right.
And that's why I'm figuring that they drew it like
but
this.
But that goes all the way through up to the present where you see Iron Man's armor's changed there. But,
right.
But Namor still looks bad. So
yeah, faces are real bad.
Yeah, so, you know, no, I can't recommend the art in the one-shot.
But we can recommend you return next week for part two of the discussion on the new Avengers, the Illuminati, wherein the marvelous Mojo Jojo and Neptune's Own get around to actually discussing the graphic novel, and the beautiful art of Jim Chung, and classic Marvel comics like Secret Wars with the Beyonder, and the Infinity Gems, and the Kree-Skrull War. Plus, we further indulge the fangirl side of Neptune's Own with more bon mots from her favorite sea prince. And of course, more spoilers.